Welcome to the show. My name is Jesse Peterson. This is a part two series. Last Monday, we were discussing husband and wife relationship. What is the responsibility of the woman? What is the responsibility of the man? So if you missed last week, call the station up and ask them to replay it. Or call me and let me know. My number is 213-759-3844. Also, I'm the founder and president of Bond, which is Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny. And the purpose of Bond is to rebuild the black community by rebuilding the black man. We want to understand what is this weakness of the black man? What is wrong with him? What went wrong? Because I know for a fact that once we can see our problem, we can begin to overcome. I used to be a weak man, very weak. I wasn't a self-controlled man, wasn't self-contained. I had no confidence. I gave it to all the wrong things, and I see that going on all the time. So today we're dealing with husband and wife. For those that wasn't here with us last week, my guests are Charles Durham, Renee Durham's, Yamaya Rivers, that is right? And Sylvester Rivers. And again, I want to welcome you guys and thank you for coming today, all right? All right, Sylvester. You know, another thing I'm happy about is that we have an audience full of black men. And today I want to hear what they have to say about this relationship between husband and wife. Just show my audience, show my, all the black men that are ready to fight. Cameraman, can you go over there? Please, just for a second. Hi, guys. All right, I'm glad you're here. And what I mean by fight, stand up for what is right. Sylvester. Last week, you was making a point that you don't think that the man should be the head. Am I right about that?
No, I was saying depends on which context. If you're from a Christian background, I was saying then standard for that religion is that the man is, quote unquote, as you say, the head.
Can you speak up for me? I can't
hear. Is the head of the household. But in certain situations, I think it should be a mutual consensus to decision making and whatever you do. So I think that's the bottom line to me.
Yeah.
Is a consensus of things. We would
define head. What do you mean by head of the family? And then I'll define it so we can understand what we're talking about.
I don't mean anything by I haven't really
used you don't
that
mean
term.
There's no definition for head of the home or to you?
No.
Okay. My definition is, as I said earlier on the last show, there is an order of things. And that order of things has been put into existence even before we existed, all right? And that order of things in our heart is written in our heart. It's upon our heart. And it's the truth. It shows us. It leads us. There's God. There's Jesus. There's man. There's woman. There's the children, right? And and when man live by that order of things, he's a man that has principles and values. It's the light unto his feet. He's developing character. He's self-control. He don't need anyone to validate him. He don't need anyone to make him feel good or make him feel bad. He don't need any emotional support. He don't need all those things because his principle is his strength. You know what I'm saying? And so when that fails, everything falls apart. Whole household falls apart. The kids go crazy. The wife is angry. The man is an alcoholic, drug addict, out there messing around with other women. When that falls apart, and that's what I mean by being the head. Is that all right?
Well, I think those characteristics you described, the woman should also have those characteristics.
Yes, sir, I agree.
So still, I think we're getting stuck on this head of the household concept. Okay. So I want to try to move beyond that to see.
Do you agree, but you still disagree with that head of household?
Well, if that's your definition, like in a relationship, it depends. You should let the other person be themselves. If that's how you feel and that's how you want to live your life, then that's fine. But if my definition is something different, you know, as far as how a household should be run.
Your wife spoke about emotions off the air. Remember that conversation you were saying that men and women are emotional? I said a man should not be emotional.
Mm-hmm.
You want to come in on that? Do you see that a man should be emotional?
Sure.
Really?
Love is an emotion. Sadness, all of that. I think male and female each possess a male entity and a female within them.
Right.
That's what makes them up. That's the balance.
And you make a good point. It is an emotion, but isn't it a negative emotion? Because don't you notice that, or have you noticed, that men that are emotional, they're very weak. and you can't depend on them. They're just like they're just like a woman.
No, I disagree.
I think there's two words in
there. Men that are like that.
I disagree.
Are you emotional, Sebastian?
There's two things. There's emotions and there's being emotional.
Uh-huh.
Everyone has emotion. And then some people are emotional. Some men are too emotional. They start beating up their wives.
Out of control.
That's emotion. That family does not need to be there. He's the head of the household, and she hasn't listened, so I have the right to whop you.
Right.
That does not need to exist. We have this romanticism about the family. Sometimes the family is not a good union. If there's incest, if there's abuse,
right,
then it shouldn't exist. So we have to be more realistic. And also, you're getting to the head of the household. I think at the other show, you were mentioning that you were the provider and whatnot. Sometimes in that situation, you have males who say, well, I'm the provider. Something happens to their job.
Exactly.
And they get out, you know, they don't know what to do. Men get upset because the woman's making more money. I'd be happy if they make more money. Yeah, you know, because it's a consensus, a mutual thing, but some people have ego. Mad because the woman makes more. I don't understand that.
Yeah. You know, the one thing that I want to add to that, and you're right about that, when a man has principles and values that he live by, there is no ego. Because what has happened is that his principles show him that, I mean, who he really is. And that ego side of him, which bring all these emotions that you speak of, it destroys that side of him. It dies. It's almost like you die one life, which is the ego life, which is emotional and doubt and fear and anger. You need someone to make you feel good, or you need someone to make you feel bad. Where your character, it kills that side of you, and you become another person. And in that, so you're not emotional, and from that you walk by the truth. You walk by your character.
Well, I don't necessarily agree. You know, I have on my wall something called the 10 virtues. The first one is control of thought. The second one is control of emotions. It doesn't say be unemotional. It says control of emotions.
That's a good point, too, that you bring up, because, I mean, I know that in everyone there is the emotions, even in man. But the difference should be that man should be able to have the control over his emotions, so he doesn't become emotional.
I think women should too.
Women should too, though.
Yeah, and women also.
Yeah,
but you know, a man can't depend on a woman having it. A man has to have it, so that when he get married, he can save the woman from her emotions.
Oh.
A woman look to a man to save her.
I disagree, brother.
I understand.
What if the man is more emotional than the woman?
Then the woman got hell on her hand. You got a messed up family. You gonna have screwed up kids.
But you know
you got a wife.
So you're saying that man is lost.
Yes, sir.
No.
Exactly. Very good.
But our whole journey on the planet, the whole journey on the planet.
I know you guys have questions, right? Okay, I'm coming to you. Yes, ma'am? I'm sorry.
Our whole journey on this planet is, you don't just get rid of the ego like that today or tomorrow.
Why not?
It's work. It's not an instantaneous.
Process.
It's a growing process. And that growth comes through me relating to my mate, me relating to my children, me relating to a friend.
Mm-hmm.
It's constant battle. It's a constant work. As I get older, I get better at it.
And so you do agree with me that we have to overcome the ego life?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, okay. That's good. You know, I'm dying to ask Renee this question that we were talking about off the air. But first, did you guys have a question at some point? No? If you do, would you come out front here, please?
I want to ask a question on control. You mentioned where a man should have control.
I said anyone should have control.
On your person, me to you, a question. Where do you feel that control comes from for that man to have?
Control comes from your experience, your learning. Sometimes you might need to go to counseling if a man is out of control, or a woman. You might need to go to somebody because they don't know how to control their emotions. So, you know, if you don't know it, some people it's instinctive. Other people, they have to understand that they're emotional or out of control, man or woman, and try to control it because it might lead to abuse. A woman could be abusive, a man could be abusive.
Okay, so in the sense that you go to a counselor, where do you think that trust comes from that you have in that counselor that could give you the direction to control?
Well, I mean, if you have a counselor, you have to maybe get a referral so you can trust your counselor, if that's your question, if I understand your question correctly.
No, he said, where does the trust come from?
Where does the trust come from?
That you can reveal it to the counselor.
Well, that's internal. Some people in jail because they didn't take any steps. You know, I have an experience where, personal experience where there was an abusive situation, and now the police are looking for the gentleman. He will be in jail. So you have to know your problem.
You know, can I disagree one little bit thing that you said, please?
Sure.
And when he asked,
did you say please?
You know, one thing that you said is that when he asked, where should a man go for counseling?
Uh-huh.
Yes, because our fathers have failed us, right? And we are external people, right? And so yes, when we have inner problems, we go to the outer source to look for the answer to our problem. So we may have to depend on that for a minute, but we shouldn't trust anyone. But what a real man does, a man that loves God, a man that lives by principle, when he have conflicts or inner problem or pain, he go to his father, and his father directs him. Because what happened to the exterior help is a temporary thing. And so when a man repent for being wrong, and when he repent for being that way, he changed
relationships. There's all kinds of variables. Like I have another situation where someone I know, the father is no longer with us. He's passed on.
Okay.
So who should he go to? There's all kinds of variables. He's influenced by outside.
When we're growing up as children, we should be allowed to go to our earthly father, our dad, if he had it, in a sense, and we're living right. We would go to him for the answer. And then once we grow up to be responsible adults, the earthly father let go, per se, and we're led back to the spiritual father within us. And then we begin to deal with that. And that's how we grow. Because if you notice, the outside help, we become addicted to it as well, and we only get worse.
When I say outside, I mean the whole family structure, because I think you're being ideal. Your ideas are somewhat based on a perfect situation. If there's a father there, the father may or may not be there. There's uncles.
No, I disagree, because he's not really speaking of a perfect situation. He's speaking of any situation where when you need guidance, mm-hmm. you need to go somewhere. And as we talked about off the air, the best source for that guidance is inside yourself,
sure is.
Which comes from a higher power, which, lack of a better term, I call God.
Uh-huh,
and, you know, and that's where you get your mm-hmm. guidance from. And so when it comes to a man-woman relationship, I know for a fact that it's my responsibility to make sure that this spirit that which leads me also influences my family. And it goes without saying that when I am out of line, my wife as well will bring me back to reality and say, hey, you know.
Well, I just don't want to say go to this person or that person, because we're talking about adult situations, and some people don't have access to their fathers.
Yeah.
I mean, go to anyone you can. If you need help, get help.
The purpose of the program, though.
Charlie, can you come up here?
But I wanted to make the point that the purpose of the program here today is because there is distress out there. There's a lot of people, a lot of families that are hurting, and they're trying to, well, how do we get it back together? How do we better ourselves? And it all does come back to the point of leadership, of structure, of order, and you know, the higher power, which should be within you, would lead you in the right direction, and therefore your family has no...
And let's make it a little more simple than that, too, than this higher power word. Because everybody's using the higher power word, and it's still a screwing up thing, because it gives you a false notion that you have to look outside, that, you know, but it's within us. And,
right.
and we have to find that, which is within us, you know what I'm saying? And it'll begin to control our life. But I absolutely agree with you that, I was speaking earlier about all the things I've dealt with over the last couple of years. For a while, because my father fell, I needed an exterior person to help me to understand. But now I've found that is within me. And when I have problems, I don't know the answer, I just allow it to show me. I don't create an answer. I don't run here, run there now. I'll be still and know.
Yeah.
And it absolutely shows you.
That's true.
And when it shows you, can no one make you doubt yourself? That's the thing about it, too. You become somebody else, and it's so beautiful to be that person. Anyway. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, exactly what you were just saying. You know, I know they were agreeing. I want you to expound on what you heard him just saying about when you go inside yourself, where does that originate from? You know,
that's
that
true.
Part.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Mm-hmm.
Where did that come from?
Because people say go inside yourself. And that's the whole thing. That's when I started. I was talking about experiences, your experience. Some people come from abusive families, and so they start handicapped mentally. Other people don't come, you know, so inside yourself, it's a lot of things. It's your people who are good role models. It's your father, your mother, your sisters, your brothers, your aunts, your uncles. Those are the people who
who our ancestors, you know, when I pray to our ancestors. So when you go inside, there's a lot of things. And to be able to distinguish, like how we were talking last show about the outer influences, there's a lot of negativism out there,
yeah,
saying we should be like this,
yeah,
that jingoistic type attitude of domination. And to go inside yourself is to be out to me in meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Yemenyat meditates. So it depends, you know, some people go into religion. If you're Christian, Islam, so I can't really say it for us. Whatever is you have to find help wherever you can.
And what I mean by go inside yourself is to, you know, like in life we know something's wrong because we have a lot of conflict, we have a lot of problems, our marriages are falling apart, our children are on drugs, and they, you know, and there's so much going on. So you know something is wrong with yourself, right? Because everything is going wrong. What we need to do is be still and feel the pain, take the pain, and in that pain, when you go to that pain and take the pain, that's your consciousness, and it shows you what is wrong. And at the same time, it shows you the right way to go. And that's what I mean, to look at ourselves, know that we're not God, and let God be God. We're going on a break. We're going to take a minute's break. I'll be back in a minute. Excuse me? You know, I wish I had a mic in my hand so it looked like I'm holding a mic. I look real weird. I'm running
over there. When you can cry, you've got to cry some responsibility.
What is Jesse Peterson talking about? Who speaks for black people? Bond, Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny, rebuilding the black community by rebuilding the black man. Meetings held every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evenings at 7:30 p.m. Location, 2625 West Manchester Boulevard, Inglewood, California, 90305. For more information, call area code 213-759-3844. That's 759-3844. Bond, rebuilding the black community by rebuilding the black man.
Welcome back to the program. We're talking to husband and wife today. And sir, you wanted to say?
Yes. What I wanted to say.
Can you hear for me?
What I wanted to say is that when you have that desire inside, you have to have that desire. Instead of going to someone else, well, sometimes you may be able to go to someone else, but how do you know that they have it? So you have to have that desire to improve yourself. If you don't have that desire to improve yourself in your relationship, no one can help you. So therefore, you have to have that inner desire. And if you have that inner desire, it will show you where to go, how to do it. It may take time and a lot of dealing with yourself, not so much the other person, but yourself. If you do well on that, then that will improve not only yourself, but your marriage, your relationship with work, with other people, your whole concept of life with that. And that, to me, is the God power working that's in all of us. But we will not use it or do not use it properly.
Thank you. That's good. Renee. You know, Renee talked about how she loved Charles and how wonderful and great she is. And she followed Charles to the river and jumped off. But we asked a question to Renee off when we was on break. If Charles made a decision in the home and she didn't agree with that decision, what would she do? And she said, well, it already has happened. He wanted to sell the house, and I didn't want to move. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I asked, and she said, we decided not to move. So I asked, if Charles is the head of your home, and you respect him in that position, why wouldn't you want to move if he feel that that's the right thing to do?
Well, because I have a mind and my own opinions also, and I didn't feel that that was the best thing for me or for us. If I mean, we're a team, and if it's not going to be something that I can honestly see any benefit in it for me, then it's not going to work together.
But Renee, if he the head of the house, and he the man, and he feel that we should move, I mean, you're rejecting what he wants. Suppose he see it totally the other way. This is the best thing to do. This is what I want to do.
But you see, we didn't move. So as the head of the household, he took in consideration. We did not.
You did not.
He took in consideration how I felt. It wasn't a good time, and it wasn't going to be good for me.
So what would have happened if he hadn't taken into consideration and did what he thought was best?
Well, either we would have moved and it wouldn't have worked, or it would have worked.
But you would have gone with him and all that?
Yeah.
Oh, what did you say?
I wouldn't.
Renee?
I'll go to my mom's.
That's emotions talking right there.
Yeah, that's emotion. Yes, if it actually came down talking. To he was packing the stuff and getting in the truck, I would go. Uh-huh.
No, but what's interesting,
you know,
though?
Two, a man has to be able to make a mistake. Now, just because he makes a decision that I don't necessarily agree with, and I could even, if I could see he was going to fail, let him fail.
That's right.
That doesn't mean that all of a sudden I don't support him because he's doing right. something I don't necessarily agree with. I'm with him through the good and the bad.
And so, but if it's something that's really going to hurt us, and she sees it clearly, she stands firm on that ground and says, hey, you got to think about this and think about that, you know. And that's her job, because this is my best friend. That's her job. She's looking out for me. She doesn't want me to hurt myself. And but what is interesting, when we go through things like that where, you know, in my mind I see we need to do something and she totally disagrees with it, what I do is I've learned that you can't get anywhere with a head-to-head conflict, you know, where it's my way or no way. You can't get anywhere that way. Right. Because my wife has a conscience, and that's why I married her, because uh-huh. she has a conscience. And God works on my conscience the same way he works on her conscience. So I say to God, I say, hey, if this is the right thing for us to do, show her. Show her that I'm right. And he does.
That's
but I have to stand firm, see, yeah. and what I see. And then eventually she'll say, yeah, I see it makes sense, but I don't want to do it, you know. But she sees it makes sense. And it's not because I'm beating her over the head with it. Uh-huh. It's because her own conscience. Well, see, and that's the man's responsibility.
That's good. That's
is to bring his family to the same conscience that is within him. And it's also the mother or the wife's responsibility to adhere to that conscience and make sure that the whole family adheres to that conscience.
Charles, I noticed that it's difficult for women to come to that state. You know, it seems as though women, they have a deep-rooted ego.
It's some it women. Real, now, it depends on the woman.
Let me use the word some, not all.
Yeah, it depends
but
on the woman.
Enough where we're in a mess.
But
have a deep-rooted, they seem to have a deep-rooted ego.
They know.
And
they,
it's hard
they,
for women
it's a
to
deep-rooted have, challenge. Have you noticed? It's a deep-rooted, yeah. They challenge it because, and I don't know why, but
I think
all
what they're
women challenge
is the ego
what?
Of men. Because men seem to have this ego to where, you know, they're going to do all these things without any real rationale behind it.
But I think the challenge,
that's
even
right.
though even though it may be based, even though the challenge may be based against a man's ego, it becomes mechanical, because even if a man is not coming from an egotistical standpoint, if he is totally sincere and from the heart and wishing only the best, he is still challenged. Which, and I think it's good for a man. I think that is good for a man.
It's good.
Because it's going to make a man stronger in his convictions.
Sure.
And
that's right. Let me just make that real clear. It is really good for a man to have to deal with the challenges that come from women. And I want men to know that, because a lot of men run from that.
They run from it.
They
because,
run from that.
A, it's a painful thing.
Yeah. And without that, without the challenge, you don't grow anyway. I mean, it's good that you have these willful women, these women that, like Renee was saying, they challenge the man. But a lot of men are so emotional and so insecure. And when that pressure comes, they run away from it. But you don't grow that way. You have to deal with it. You have to learn not to allow your woman, your wife, to make you resent her, to hate her for what she's trying to do. Because if you can stand strong, it's like a brick wall. When she come up against that, and you patient with that, it will either make her or break her.
Now, I'll tell you,
the
I fail.
You give into it, you fail the whole thing.
I'll tell you, I fail 99.9% of the time.
You do.
I fail.
Really?
But it's that one speck when I handle it just right,
uh-huh.
and there's pure love there, it just is enough to keep our love solid as a rock. Just that one little bit.
Renee's sitting up here looking all innocent and beautiful, and she challenged you a lot?
Yeah.
Really?
Every step of the way.
And she looking bright-eyed like she just don't do anything. So Renee, what made...
But that's her job. That's why she looks bright-eyed, because she's doing her job. She's on the J-O-B.
Can you help yourself, Renee? Do you have to do it?
I think it helps to make him a better person.
Yeah.
He challenges me as well. I mean, in anything. And, you know, my business choices and everything.
Yeah. You know, we have 2 minutes left, and I want to hear from each one of you guys. What kind of advice can you give to a black man or any man that's looking at this program as to how to deal in the household, how to deal with his wife, his children?
Well, I think he should, when I started, I stated that everyone should accept the other person as they are. So he should help accept his wife as she is, and a wife should accept the man for what he is and what he is. And I like the support better than challenge. I like my spouse supports me.
As opposed to challenging you?
Right.
You don't like to deal with the challenge?
Well, challenge is from the outside. Right. I don't have challenges. She might disagree with something, but that's not a challenge. That's her. That's what she believes, and I'll look at it
okay,
and make
you know,
the decision.
I appreciate that. We have 1 minute left, so I want to hear from each one. What kind of advice can you give to someone that needed help right now to be a good wife?
I would say to communicate with your man, and then also look inside yourself to see what it is about that your man that's making you so upset, because all he's doing is just reflecting something inside of that you need to deal with.
Okay, how about you, Renee?
Just to try to find someone that you can deal with unconditionally, to love them and to help support them to be the best kind, type of person they can be.
How about you, Josh?
I think love is actually the key phrase here, because if you have unconditional love, as she talked about earlier, as you had for a child, as a child has for you, that it cannot help but become a better situation. No matter what type of person you're trying to deal with, if it's unconditional love, which is what God has for us, it can't help but become a better situation, if
that's
no
right.
one else but for yourself.
That's right. You know, I appreciate that. One thing that I realized is that in order to survive in any situation, we first have to overcome our sins. We first have to forgive. We have to be quick to admit when we're wrong and quick to admit when we're right. And live a life of standard, principles, and values. I also want to add that we have an entrepreneur workshop the last Sunday of every month from 2 to 5 p.m. at Bond's headquarters, which is 2625 West Manchester Boulevard in Inglewood. That's 2625 West Manchester Boulevard in Inglewood. Our phone number is 213-759-3844. And it's to help enhance and encourage black people to start entrepreneurship. Thank you guys for being with me. I appreciate that. All right. And thank you guys. All right.